Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to part two of the French Connection. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and of course, we have for you today a guest from Moscow. His name is Israel Shamir. He has stood out among many as a person who's willing to stand up to world Zionism, and for this he needs to be applauded. You all know that we try to bring people like David Pidcock and Barry Turner and many, many others to this broadcast so that the truth can be brought forward to everyone in the world. And so I'm going to welcome him right now. Welcome, Israel.
Hello, good evening, or good morning,
you know,
or whatever the time over there, wherever you are.
Well, Israel, here, you know, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, if there is a quality problem here, let me explain to you why. We're trying to do a three-way link-up between California, France, and Moscow. So please understand that the clarity might not be as good as usual. So I'm going to go right to the questions, Israel. We've got a situation right now in the Middle East that is beginning to get out of control, and it has been for the last 4 or 5 years. We know here at the French Connection, I know personally, that this was part of a plan, and we believe it was put together by a group called the Lubavitch, the Shabbat Lubavitch. And we also know that these people are Lurian Kabbalists, and we also know that what they're interested in is reestablishing a kingdom that extends from the Euphrates to the Nile River under the control of a very small group of very powerful human beings. Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, in my opinion, there are people who have obviously these sort of thoughts and these sort of ideas. But again, in my view, and maybe an erroneous one, still the people who are in charge, that's the American Jews, not the people in Israel, whether they are religious fanatics or whether they are nationalists or whatever. Still, the American Jews, they are the people that they rule the game.
Well, I have found out with my research that people like the Warburg family, the Rothschild family, and the Schieff family, and others, and then the Shabbat Lubavitch, which was a offshoot of Frankist Judaism, is really the driving forces behind this. There's a two-pronged force here. Do you find the same in your research?
Well, it's not something that I am kind of very much aware of. Though it could be that those bankers' families that you mentioned are important, it could be. But again, it's not something that that I am aware of or that we see it on the ground.
Well, okay. So one of the things that I have discovered is that part of this plan is to consolidate control over the Middle Eastern nations of Syria, Iraq, and Iran, because the other governments of that region are already under the direct influence of this group. Am I correct in assuming this?
Well, again, in my view, what we have is, what we meet is a worldwide plan, which actually speaks about world domination, not the Middle East domination. And in the Middle East also there are some kind of limited goals, limited aims, but they are actually not as important as what happens elsewhere. I am sure for everybody of those people that we speak about, dominance over France is more important than dominance over Syria. And dominance over Germany is more important than dominance over Iraq.
Yes.
So whatever happens in the Middle East is obviously a very visual part of the events, but not the centerpiece, in my view.
Because of the huge economies that are controlled there. But see, what we understand, and we at the French Connection have studied the Talmudic tradition. We understand what the Zohar states about the Goyim. And what we want to understand here, Israel, is why this kind of vitriolic type of presentation should not be ignored. I mean, we know that in these documents that are very adhered to by certain groups, we're considered lower than cattle.
Yeah.
And that is something that many people are beginning to question seriously here, because we're going to be the victims here.
Yes, that is very true. I think that is something that is more important in a way than what happens in the Middle East. Something that happens to you in France and to you in the United States, that is, I think, should be much more relevant for you. Whatever happens in the Middle East, that is obviously very painful and very important for us, for people in the Middle East. I live in Palestine or in Israel, if you wish. I am just on a visit in Moscow. But for you, obviously, it's much more important what happens to your countries. And in France, obviously, the situation is very sad, where you see now that people are being sent to jail for questioning the Jewish power. That is obviously is much more important.
Well, we are aware of the Balfour signing back in 1916 and how the powers from the United States and Europe got the British and the French and the Americans to work together for domination. Now, they also were responsible earlier for fomenting problems in Russia, where you are now. They are actually responsible for having perpetrated the Russian Revolution against the Tsar. Am I correct?
Well, you know, to an extent, such forces, they can always foment a revolution, but still a revolution is something that is done by people. And as you know, a few years after the revolution, the same forces that supported revolution in Russia went actually the total reverse into a severe kind of fight against communism. So it's not like we should be really always be aware of our free will, that whatever the evil forces force us to do, we are always free to stop and turn around.
Well, I would agree with that, except that Stalin, under these same people's efforts and help, purged the Caucasus of millions of Orthodox Christians in the 1930s purges. And he also used the Gulag system to persecute even more numbers. And what we've been able to glean in our research is that millions, upwards of 100 million people, were affected either by directly or indirectly by this group. Not affected, they were murdered. Because World War I was controlled by them in the Balfour documents. And then financially, they supported World War II and the support of Nazi Germany as well as Stalin's communist regime. So my point to you is we can directly link this group to the murder of 100 million people in the last 100 years.
Yes, I understand this point of view, for sure, for sure. Obviously, the forces that supported the extension of the World War I and the breakout of the World War II, that's obviously evil forces which should be denied even now, and that is for sure true. As for Russian situation, it's a little bit more more complicated, and that something kind of calls for more analysis than a short talk would really allow us to.
Well, now, I've got a question to you about the use of the media to control our discussions in the mainstream. We rarely have an opportunity to hear the truth spoken on television, radio, and in newsprint. Are those conditions worsening or getting less? Are we breaking away from their control with this internet?
Well, alas, no. In my view, no. In my view, we are getting into worse and worse situation, as a matter of fact. Actually, nowadays, in so many countries, let's say in the world that is controlled by the United States to a great extent, in the American view, the only free media is the media that is controlled by the Jewish millionaires. That is the only media that they consider free. Whenever it's something else, then they would immediately say that this media is state-controlled or whatever. I came across it now when I've been now to Malaysia. I came out of there just very recently. In Malaysia, they have a quite free media which belongs to the state. And the American forces demand all the time to dismantle it and to pass it to a buyer. And the potential buyer is nobody else but George Soros.
Oh, boy.
You know.
Well, it's the same cabal. Now, George Soros is a direct worker for the Rothschild fortunes.
Absolutely. So, you know, that is obviously the situation. No, we have less and less freedom. And the Internet, with all its power, it is still something that is still something for few people who bother to tune, not to the multitudes that really wouldn't like to bother at all.
Well, you're right, and I think there are so many people working on the Internet to confuse the truth that we are rarely treated to facts on the Internet, because they have many people being paid to pass lies out onto the Internet and confuse these facts that we present.
Oh, yes, that is very true. You know, there was a wonderful French philosopher, Simone Weil. She died in 1943 in England. And Simone Weil wrote about it that, in her opinion, people who mislead others in the media should be judged, sentenced, and sent to jail. And I think, to a great extent, she is right, because there is such amount of mischief in the media that is really shocking. Like, for instance, so many people spoke about the famous weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody was punished for it.
Yeah. And, well, in fact, more information is coming out today. The assistant to Colin Powell is coming out and saying he knew in advance what he was telling the American public was a lie.
Oh, yes. All of them knew that. And still, all the media, all the mainstream media, supported and was quiet in this thing. And that is obviously very sad. So we are really remaining on the guard of truth, people in the Internet. But again, you know, our voice is faint and small.
Well, I have a question about 9/11. Our research shows that there was a lot of participation from the MI6, the CIA, and the Mossad in that operation. We know that there were large sums of money that were being short-sold. They were investing in the destruction of the airline industry. They were in advance of this attack. They actually used money from people such as Mark Rich to finance the leasing of those buildings to Silverstein. We know that that there was a very close connection to the Mossad in the art students that were there. We also know that there were specialists in demolition that have ties to Israel as well. So what we've been able to find out is there's a very close connection to Zionist influences in 9/11. Do you have any information on that?
Well, the only thing I can say about it, that for sure Zionists used it to the perfect extent. That is true. I remember the day 9/11 when just a few minutes passed after the explosion, and the major networks in America and in England already had the important Israeli politicians on air saying that it is done by Palestinians and or Arabs and or Muslims. So that is obviously true that it was used to great extent. As for actual participation, alas, I have no idea who could actually do it and how. But it was used, yes. Absolutely.
Well, we do have evidence that they did it, Israel, and we could share that with you if you'd like. Here's the other facts that I'd like to touch on. They've been arresting people in the world for free speech. And especially in the country I live in here, and we've looked at Mr. Zundel, Mr. Gar Rudolph, Mr. Irving, and others. There are many people in jail for speaking freely about issues that normally should be treated as a matter of opinion. Do you have any feelings about our inability to speak freely about facts?
Yes, I wrote an article which is kind of available on the Internet, which is called for whom the bell tolls, and that's saying that the alas, the bell tolls for the freedom of all of us.
Yeah.
Yes, I feel very bad about this thing that an historian who has some opinions, whatever they are, is going to jail for his opinion. In my opinion, this is really absolutely awful. Yes. I'll give you a simple example. You know Anthony Lewis,
yes,
an important American historian,
mm-hmm.
one of the most important, actually. He denied Armenian tragedy of 1915, and he was actually found guilty by the French court, and he paid the fine of 100 euros or something like that. And you know, nothing happened to him. His position, as it was, remained as valid as it is. Nothing happened to him. But Irving, he is in jail. In my opinion, that is real travesty of law, travesty of justice, and a terrible thing, in my opinion.
It is a terrible thing, Israel. I have a question to you about crypto-Zionism and crypto-Judaism. In other words, many people in the United States and Europe act as though they are Christian on the outside. They change their names. But in fact, they are Jewish. It is no different than the Muranos of the Spanish era and the Dolomites of Turkey. And we still have the same thing in the American government right now and in the American film industry and the American media, where many of the principal candidates, principal people, seemingly are Christian, but they're not. In fact, they're what we call crypto-Jews that goes back many centuries, all the way back to the Sabaean movement and back to Sebadai Zevi and all of these different characters of history that used their clandestine identities to further their conspiracy. Do you have any information on that?
Well, you know, I don't really believe all that much in the century-spanning conspiracies. In my opinion, human plans, they don't live for such a long time. But obviously, there is what I think happens is that so many people are getting influenced by the Jewish ideas, and they carry it on. That, I think, is a reality. While to think in terms of people carrying some kind of hidden teaching for centuries, I personally have doubts about that.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about people such as Sumner Redstone, who is not... His name is not Sumner Redstone. He uses a Christian name in his business dealings, but his name is Rabinowitz. We're talking about a man named Scooter Libby, whose name is really Leibowitz, Irwin Leibowitz. We did the same thing with Trotsky. We did the same thing with many of the big figures of history who switched their identities for the public. But in John Kerry is another example. We have Hillary Clinton as an example. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is these people are purporting themselves as Christians, but yet they're not. They're Jewish.
Well, you know, the big problem, obviously, is that we should always judge a person by his deeds, not only by what he claims he is. And if you see that a person supports Jewish prevalence, if a person believes that Israel is above the law, then you can say that he is, in a way, a Jew or a crypto-Jew or a neo-Jew or whatever,
yes, yes.
Even if his origin is purely Christian. Because the problem is obviously the problem of spirit, not problem of blood, in my view.
Well, you're right, because most of the people from in the control of Israel right now are from an Ashkenazi sect or from a Khazarian origin and not from the Sephardi, and that's quite a different group of people. Semitic people are also Arabs. Am I wrong?
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. Semitic people are Arabs. Yes, that's very true. But basically what I try to say is that ideas, they influence people. And a person who is, let's say, of purely non-Jewish origin, when he knows, when he sees that he can get more money, more advance, more influence by supporting the Jewish agenda, sometimes he does it. It's not necessary for us to look into his origin.
Well, that, I don't know if that's entirely true. If someone is using that deception in order to fool people into supporting them, and that is what Trotsky did. And in fact, after the 4,000 infiltrators in Russia took over the government, it was illegal to ask people if they were Jewish or not, and you were killed for it. It was a punishment by death. So my point to you is that they have kept these facts clandestine at the punishment of death in some regimes. And in America today, there are large numbers of people who are cryptically acting on the behalf of Israel, but in fact are quite spiritually connected to them.
Well, obviously, we should always think about what the person does, not only what he says, and this is kind of the way. Yes, it is true that the origin of a person influences him very often, but alas, it's not the only way that people are being influenced.
Well, no, I think you're right, and we have worked with Natura Carta on this program. And the Natura Carta people, Rabbi Weiss from New York City, and many others. And in fact, we here are against criminals. We're not against any religion, so to speak. What we prefer to do here is ally ourselves with people who are fighting the criminals.
Oh yes, absolutely. I think that is a very correct approach. And about crypto, whatever. Again, that's what I say in my view. It's this situation is kind of more than black and white. It is a bit more complicated. Yes, for sure, there are people who hide their identity, but there is even more problem with people who just act on their own interest, which they perceive as being, incongruence with the Jewish agenda. That is, in my opinion, is the kind of main problem. That so many people think that would be good for them.
Well, I think you're right in that statement as well. But you know, we've got a situation now where the world is being asked to turn a blind eye to the activities in Iraq, and we are genociding that nation's public. We are killing them with depleted uranium. We are poisoning them with bad water supply. And we're destroying their culture and their history, and now we're threatening to do it to Iran. Do you have any personal observations you'd like to share with the listeners about this condition in the Middle East?
Exactly, yes. In my opinion, it is very important to take American troops out of Iraq and to try to stop the invasion of Iran, which they speak about every day, to stop threats upon the people of Iran. And to keep, let's say, them out of the Middle East, let the people of the United States deal with the situation in their own country, let us spend their, if they have any extra money, let them spend the money in their country to improve the well-being of their own people and kind of forget a bit about Middle East. In my opinion, that would be the best.
Now, since you've been a student of history, are you aware of the deep ties between the old regime in South Africa and the Israelis?
Yes, yes. So many people wrote about it. Yes, that's kind of they even made a big effort of creating nuclear weapons together. Yes.
Yes. Well, actually, they got a lot of the technology given to them from Britain, is what we're discovering.
Yes, that was a recent report about it, yes.
Well, you know, Israel, do you have other things you'd like to share with our listeners today? Because you're going to be heard by thousands of people on this broadcast.
Well, the only kind of important thing that I would like to tell them is to do whatever they can in order to keep the United States, to keep Britain out of the Middle East, to stop their involvement in Iraq and Iran, to keep their soldiers back home, and to obviously stop supporting the apartheid in our countries, that is Palestine and or Israel.
I agree with those statements completely, Israel Shamir. I want to thank you for coming on the French Connection today. I do want to invite you back sometime in the future where I will contact you in advance and give you maybe a subject that we can research together. and maybe discuss these things. But between now and then, sir, you can go to my website at IamTheWitness.com, and you will find all kinds of information there. We work very hard at informing the world as to what is going on.
I shall. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Israel.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Israel Shamir, direct from Moscow. As you are well aware, we've had an echo throughout the broadcast, which was absolutely maddening from my end of the telephone, almost painful to do. However, I think we got through it. I hope everyone out there could hear what Israel's responses to the questions were. I'm not entirely satisfied with the depth of his research on some of my questions. However, you know, I do think he was being genuine in his responses, and that's just my off-the-cuff take of how he responded to the questions. It is always difficult for people who, especially people who don't speak the language we do, to come up with the right kinds of responses often, but I don't think he was trying to avoid the answers, although I wish he would have been a little bit more knowledgeable on some of the questions I brought up. However, what we will do is try to investigate what Israel can really bring information to bear on. There are subjects where people spend a lot of their time researching. They concentrate on certain issues so that they can become an expert on them. And the result is that they end up ignoring certain other issues that maybe we have spent more time on, and thereby not being as learned as we can be on certain subjects. So I will use that as my reasoning for some of the responses. You know, this is a difficult game that we're playing here. This is an important game. Each of you out there needs to understand that there are more and more people bringing others to these facts. These facts are irrefutable. They are irrefutable. We have the evidence. We've got the smoking gun, ladies and gentlemen. We know what we're discussing here. We know who we're discussing, and we know what they've done and what they plan to do. Please share with others these facts and let people know that we are in a very, very late hour. Freedom is not an assured thing for all of us. In fact, quite the opposite. If you listen to Israel Shamir's take on the media's control, the Internet is not necessarily winning this battle for us. So heed that warning and put more effort into this fight so that we can come out on top of this this battle, because to lose this is not an option, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and we will have another great guest on the next installment of The French Connection. Until then, have a great evening, and goodbye.